Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. God bless you and welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. It is the very first day of March 2018. March 1st, 2018, and we have quite a broadcast lined up for today. We're trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into the place where we all need to go. And I want to begin today's broadcast in Acts chapter 3. I found something very interesting here. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. I believe it would be wise for you and I to know and understand the hour of prayer. But here's what's really awesome, being the ninth hour. Broadcast every day in the ninth hour. It's 9 a.m. And if I understand time properly, it is the ninth hour. And this is an hour of prayer. This is an hour of studying. This is an hour of teaching. This is an hour of preaching. This is an hour of declaring, decreeing, revealing. And probably what we need more than anything is an hour of prayer. And so here's what happens in chapter 3 verse 2, a certain man. Now, where were Peter and John going? They were going up into the temple at the hour of prayer. When I was in Jerusalem, I noted the temple, and there were access gates into the temple. And the temple is not an enclosed area. It is a wide open area that is enclosed by walls, and you can only get into it by gates. And the gate that this chapter is going to talk about is the beautiful gate. And when you go up through the gate into the temple, it's huge. I don't know how many, if it's a mile in circumference. I just don't know what the dimensions are, but I know that it's huge. It's a huge area. I'd have to get some better detailed information about that one. But I remember looking at the beautiful gate, and this story in the ninth hour, I can imagine in my mind's eye how Peter and John were going up into the temple, and at the beautiful gate was their access point into it. And it says in 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, I'm sure he was expecting to receive an alms, right? Money, food, something. And verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So I want to begin just talking about a few things. They were in wonder and amazement. I was talking to a brother the other day that was doing a study in the book of John where because of the miracle of Jesus, they were astonished. They were astonished. So we have amazement. We have wonder. We have astonishment. Even our Lord Jesus Christ marveled. He marveled when he saw one having great faith. And, you know, I believe that God wants to bring into your life, into my life, into, you know, everyone's life on this earth, his awe-inspiring reality. I believe God wants to do something in your life today that will create wonder and joy and awe and, you know, just marveling in the presence of God. And so often these miracles are the provision. They are what causes the great joy to come about when you're in a situation and you call upon the name of the Lord or God does something in your life that's miraculous. This is what God is saying you're set up for. When we read the story, of course, it's the book of Acts. Of course, it was written 2,000 years ago. And, you know, that was during the apostolic age. And Peter and John were apostles, right? And so miracles were limited to the apostolic age, so many people say. But, you know, I have a problem with that because I believe that the gospel is alive today. And just as you and I who have been born again and have experienced hearing the voice of God and have received the Holy Spirit, to me, there is no ending of the work of the kingdom. I believe things were a bit riper 2,000 years ago. They were fresh off the press, so to speak. I mean, the Holy Spirit had just come in a demonstrative way to the apostles, and they did go out and they spread the gospel around the world. But there was transfer. There was transfer. There were people that were hanging out by the river in the days when Paul found them and said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." And so he laid his hands on them and they all began to prophesy and to pray in other tongues. So the anointing is transferable. The Holy Spirit by laying on of hands is given. And I believe for the last 2,000 years, that reality has existed and continues to exist. I believe in miracles. I believe in signs and I believe in wonders. Now, there is a spirit within the age in which we live that is somewhat resisting that idea. There is unbelief. It is a time where the gospel is under attack around the world, and the men of the world are trying to destroy the power of the gospel. They're trying to undermine the opinions of the gospel, the foundations, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. You know, now we have commercials out. It's so funny. Yesterday, I saw this commercial. And in the commercial, the guy is talking about a new commercial coming out. And in the new commercial, they've got these, they say, okay, here's our new commercial. And in this commercial, you'll notice all these people are glowing. And that's going to make all the people watching wanting to glow too. And so they're going to want to come to our hotel. And then in the commercial, one guy says, "Nobody glows. Nobody glows." And I thought, you know, I know Moses glowed. I know Jesus glowed, and I know last night at a Bible study, listening to the testimony of couple of individuals. In one particular case, the wife said of her husband, and he came back after receiving the Holy Spirit, and I looked at him in awe because he was glowing. You see, the world doesn't want God's people to glow. The world doesn't want God's people to have anything they don't have. And so the world, by the evil spirit of the world, wants to destroy the beauty of miracles, signs, wonders. And we hear of them all over the world. There are testimonies, and yet the world doesn't want to pay attention to those because the world wants to exalt its medical field. The world wants to exalt, you know, what it can do with its hands. They want to exclude God, and yet the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, this man was leaping and bounding. I mean, that's what it says. He was leaping for joy. And as he's leaping for joy, people are witnessing this event, and they are marveling at it. And so today, in this ninth hour that we're in right now, I want to pray for you, and I want to ask God to do something in your life today that would be awe-inspiring, that would be something that would create great joy in your life. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do this by his Holy Spirit. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we are reading your word and we are in this ninth hour here in Northwest Arkansas, maybe someone's listening and it's not that exact time, but here it is. And so we're going to pray, Father, right now and come into agreement and ask you, Holy Spirit, to transfer that grace, to transfer the power to do the impossible. And that man was born lame. And yet the impossibility of him ever walking again was met with a greater power, the can-do, the can-do. And when Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, he was referring to, I have the can-do, I have the dunamis, I have the miraculous working power in my possession, and that which I have, I give unto you. And Father, I thank you that right now you are the dunamis power, Holy Spirit of the living God. You are the dynamite. You are the explosive power. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to break in on every life right now that is going through something or just getting ready for a normal, natural day, sitting at the gate daily, just doing what we always do. Going to work the same way we've always gone to work. Going about our business like we always do. Lord, I ask that you break into the normal. And I ask that you bring the above normal, the abnormal. I ask, not ab, but above normal. I ask that you bring something beyond the natural order of the day. I ask that you bring the supernatural order of your day and your moment into lives of people that are seeking for something, looking for something. And I ask for miracles. I ask for signs. I ask for wonders. I ask, Lord, that you bless the people that are in agreement right now in our prayers over the airwaves. I ask you, Father God, to equip us with miracles, signs, and wonders. I ask for that apostolic anointing, Lord God, to grow fresh right now. I ask for the burden-breaking, the burden-destroying anointing. I ask, Lord, that every yoke will be broken by the anointing right now in Jesus' name. I ask for spiritual, miraculous healings. I ask, Lord God, for deliverance. I ask, Father God, for transformations. I ask, Father God, that you would quicken and accelerate within the life of every person listening right now who is in agreement, that you would accelerate their bloodstream, that you would quicken their cells, that you will reproduce, Father God, that you will raise your people up to bring forth the power and the potency of the gospel of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are a people that have something that the world does not have, that we do possess a greater power than everything the world could combine together, that within one individual, the Holy Spirit's ability and power to perform is here. It is not limited to just the apostles. It was spread by the apostles. It has gone to the ends of the earth. And your people everywhere, every single person has the Holy Spirit, and therefore residing within the Holy Spirit is this power. And Lord, we just loose it right now. We loose it. We break yokes in the name of Jesus once again. We thank you for that anointing power. We thank you, Lord, that the can do, the dunamis, such as I have, give I unto you. And I go back to Acts chapter 1. We ask this in Jesus' name. And again, here's that word in Acts chapter 1 in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own hands or in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so that you shall receive power, you shall receive the can do, you shall receive the miraculous working power. And where was that? In the apostles? No. It was in God, it was in the Holy Spirit that was given to the apostles, and the apostles moved in that power, but it transferred by the laying on of hands. That's how people began to pray in tongues. That's how cities were turned upside down. That's how offices of bishops and elders and deacons were entered into. There is the anointing of God, and it is very real, and you probably have operated in it at some level, to some degree, at some time in your life. But we're living in that age where everything is waned down. See, things are at a very low ebb. If you're talking about kingdom things, you know, getting people pumped up and getting things moving for soulical or materialistic things, you know, anybody could drum that up. But what is missing, what has come to a low ebb in the body of Christ, is the supernatural power of God. And I believe that everything the Lord's been talking to us about is a moment of that reviving power, that supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God said he was going to do it. We are positioning ourselves to receive it. And that's why we're walking through the fire with our crosses firmly fixed upon our backs, dying to ourselves, overcoming our sin. And do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He is about to do amazing things. Amazing things. And I'm just praying with you in agreement that God is doing it right now, that he's breaking yokes. The anointing is stirring. There is a fountain of living waters erupting on the inside, that volcanic eruption once again, ready to burst. And we're just calling forth that stimulation of the Holy Ghost, that stirring of the waters, if you will, in Jesus' name. Yesterday, I received a letter. I went to the mailbox and received an awesome letter from a dear woman. She is connected to a degree to the ministry. And a couple of weeks ago, I think I read one of her letters, the first one I received, over the airwaves. And if she is out there, our dear sister, she wrote me about Wade Taylor and The Secret of the Stairs. You know, one of the books that Wade Taylor wrote. And I wanted to tell her, because she doesn't leave her name or return address, but I wanted you to know, if you're listening today, that Patricia and I, my wife Patricia and I, we actually walked the city streets of Washington, D.C. with Wade Taylor. He was a very dear friend of ours, and he would walk us into the train stations, and Patricia would be on one arm, I'd be on the other side, and he'd walk us. He was a very big man. He used to be with Pat Robertson. He started at a university, and we have his book, The Secret of the Stairs. And we were able to go to his apartment and be with him. He was 82 at the time, and yes, he did pass away. Wade Taylor did pass away. And I just wanted the woman that, if you are listening today, not sure exactly what the final letter was about, but I want you to know that we appreciate you're taking the time to listen to our ministry. We're joyful that you have found an oasis in the wilderness, and I'm not sure about anything else. I mean, we have just been blessed by your letters, and we're thankful for them. And if something has caused you in any way to think otherwise, just know that that's not coming from us. We have nothing to say against those beautiful letters and the things that were said. So I wanted to clarify that and just make it abundantly clear that Wade Taylor was a great man. He was an intercessor. Man, he prayed for Washington, D.C. and this nation. He lived right behind the Capitol building a couple of blocks away. And just a great man of God. And I learned of him, Wade Taylor, way back in North Carolina when I used to do a lot of conference speaking with Van Tanner and Doug Fortune and all those guys. And so speaking of Doug Fortune, by the way, I was looking at a prophetic word here this morning that I had written all the way back in 2004, and I noticed that Doug Fortune was in the writing. So I'd like to share it with you. Doug is a friend. He spoke at our church many times. He's an evangelist that travels all over the world. He ministers the word of God. And in July of 2004, I wrote these words, "Who will go?" And, you know, this is the question, who will go? That question has been asked by God. It begins this way. The footstool is set before us. Who will take the first step? Who will arise in this hour, recognize the situation, and respond with fearless abandon upon the Lord? Who will be the first to arise and shine in this generation? Many have made attempts to stand, but few have been able to keep their balance. The higher the level, the higher the devil, until one arrives at the place of destiny beyond the veil of their own humanity, where there is nothing in them for the serpent to prey upon. In this place of destiny, there are no devils too big. In this place of destiny, there is no man power that can resist the work of the Spirit. In this place of destiny is authority and power to rule and reign over all the works of the devil. America is in a crisis and has gone to the point of no return. America will never be the same, and those who would bring her back to her foundations must understand that her foundations have leaven within them and are corruptible and decayed. The foundation of true, unending greatness is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. It is not every man's faith that leads to the same place. It is faith in Jesus Christ that firms the foundation. This present crisis is a footstool. And I want you to hear this now. The crisis is a footstool, which has been so well written of by Brother Doug Fortune in his book, Adversity and Intimacy. In the book, he describes the great men and women of faith who were able to accomplish great things out of serious trials. He explained David arising to power only after King Saul had tried to kill him, and of Joseph, who was thrown into a pit by his brothers. These examples and more explain that true greatness comes from our ability to recognize adversity as a footstool that takes us to our high in God. As I said earlier, America is in a crisis, and someone must take the first step upon this footstool in order to arise to greatness, not only for themselves, but more importantly, for perhaps millions and millions of souls around the world. Father is looking for a few good sons and daughters who will arise in this hour of crisis and shine forth the glory of the Lord. In the political arena, the Republicans and Democrats are battling it out as to who is going to gain control over the nation for the next 4 years. However, let it be known that it is the Father Let it be known that it is through the church, militant, triumphant, that the nations will become what Father God has intended it to be from the beginning of time, and that is a habitation of His glory, as with all nations of the earth. We are not speaking about the land mass, but the people that are in it. It is in the heart that God will dwell. The Democrats and the Republicans have not been given the task of preparing men's hearts for the coming of the Lord, but simply desire to control the power. It is the church that must prepare the people's hearts. This means that the eyes of the nation must be shifted from earthly and temporal things to heavenly and eternal things. But what could possibly shift their attention? That one individual or that corporate body that will take the first step upon the footstool of adversity and rise to new heights in order to gain a divine perspective of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, before I continue on, I just want to make sure we all are on the same page here that the crises, there's a Greek word called the kairos. They call it a kairos moment. It's a period of time from the perspective of God. It's not our linear chronos time. It is the unending alpha, omega, beginning and ending. I mean, it's just the time of God where there is seems to be no time with him. And in that kairos moment, it talks about opportunity in the midst of a crisis. Opportunity in the midst of a crisis. And I wrote this in 2004. We're 14 years down the road, and I think that the crisis in America is much worse now than it was then. I mean, look at all the things that have happened in our country since 2004. And so whatever adversity is in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever the nation's going through, this is the opportunity right now for someone who, you know, you're just imagine yourself, you're in the midst of this raging storm, but there is the footstool, and you take your step and you climb up. So you're rising above it, and you're getting a more divine perspective of the wisdom of God and how to bring light and glory into situations. And I believe it is the church that God was referring to, that the corporate church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that are to take this moment of opportunity in the midst of this crisis to reveal Jesus Christ to the nations of the earth. And so it must be the church that has the wisdom, the truth, the understanding and direction for this nation and all the nations of the earth. It must be the word of God that rules in the earth, not the word of man. I am somewhat disturbed with the deception being used by the Democrats and Republicans as to how they are using God's word to sway Christian, quote unquote, voters to their side. Suddenly, everyone is pretending to be a Christian. Why? Because they know that this is the time wherein the saints of God are going to rule the earth. They know that the church is rising up, militant, triumphant. They wish to use the church for their own gain and advantage. But the saints of God understand that they are not supporters of a party, but rulers of the world. You'll find that in the book of Corinthians, that we're going to rule the world, saints of God. The church knows that the time has come to take the reins of power. The church knows that this is the appointed time for all prophecy to be fulfilled, knows that she is the head and not the tail. The church knows she has come to take back what is rightfully hers, even her inheritance, the nations. The church knows that she is not to be ruled over, but is commissioned to rule thou in the midst of your enemies. The church has anointed Jesus Christ to be king over all the earth. The church knows that it is her time to take her seat beside her king and exercise dominion over all the earth. Yes, there is knowledge deep within the heart of the church that persists in the forward motion of dominion. She is not and shall never be content with being a second-class citizen. She understands that her citizenship is in heaven and that these be the day of heaven upon earth, thus fulfilling the Lord's prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But who will take the first step on the footstool of adversity? Who will arise to the occasion, get a word from heaven, and declare it to the nations? Who will grasp and take hold of heaven and bring it into the earth? Who will partake of the demonstration of the kingdom of heaven and reveal it in the earth? Who? If not you, who? And if not now, when? I say again, is there not a cause? It is time to wake up. For the night is past, and the day, even the third day and the seventh day, is at hand. We have marched through the darkness, but light has not forsaken us. We have traveled down crooked paths, but the way has not forsaken us. We have been tired and weary, but the life has not abandoned us. We have walked through a dry and thirsty land, but the rivers of living water were not shut up from us. We look for great things, only to be brought low. Yet he who makes great did not depart. There is a throne waiting for your arrival, and the footstool is set before you. Though it looks like a footstool of adversity, it is your footstool to intimacy. So rise up, saints of God. Be strong in the Lord, power of his might. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So who's going to go? Who's going to step into that dimension? Who is going to step into a moment of adversity, crises, and stand upon the footstool and get a divine perspective to rise above the flood, to rise above the clouds of adversity, to rise above the winds and the storms that are blowing upon the earth? It is time to arise and shine in the power of the resurrection. It is time to take a full step, climb the mountain, go up higher. You know, when Jesus led Peter, James, and John in Matthew chapter 17 up into a mountain apart from everyone else, they were going up high. They were climbing mountains. And there they saw the revelation of the glory that was in Jesus Christ manifesting before them. See, when you get to a higher mountain, you get a divine perspective. Not down below. And so when they climbed the mountain on that time of transfiguration, they saw the glory of God. The apostle John in the book of Revelation was taken to a high mountain, and then he saw in the spirit from God's perspective all the end time things that were ready to take place in the world in the last days. Yes, there's a mountain for you and I to climb. There is a footstool for you and I to get on and to stand above the things that are going on. And not only standing above, but also rising above the mind of mere men, to know that we have the wisdom of God. We have a superior wisdom through the Holy Spirit. We have the answers that the world needs today. And I'll tell you what, the world really does need answers, because it is spinning out of control. And people are dying, and people are losing their eternal souls to the darkness. And yet we, the church, have answers. And we need to find a way to present the answers. We need to find a way to bring to this earth the revelation of Jesus Christ, but not like salesmen that are peddling the gospel for a buck, selling a book, you know, selling things. It's just selling oil, you know, and not all the manipulations. And I believe the one way that we're going to reveal to the world, to the nations of the earth, is by that anointing that is in us, that Spirit of God, performing miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe that you and I need to say, like Peter, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give unto you. And we need to have something. And I'm here to say that if we have the Holy Spirit, then how can any miracle be resisted? We have the miracle working power. And I do not believe you have to be an apostle to receive and operate in the power of God. The believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. Do you have faith? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit brought the full understanding to your life that you have in you every gift, all the power of the kingdom of God? This has to be understood by the church. Peter got it. Peter wasn't guessing. Peter didn't show up that day and say, silver and gold, I don't have, and I think I've got something for you, so let's give it a try. No, he said, I've got something. He knew he had something. Do you know that you have something on the inside of you that could be imparted and released? Jesus, on the third day, remember what it says in John chapter 2? On the third day, Jesus went to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and there's where he began his ministry of miracles. He didn't want to perform the miracle, but his mother kind of insisted. It's your time, son. He said, woman, what do I have to do with you? I mean, she pushed it. She told the people around, just do what he tells you to do. It's kind of like Mary was involved in this thing. And the time came that the Lord released what he had. And I believe we're living in the prophetic third day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something on the inside of you and I if we're truly born again. Last night at a Bible study, I was asking all the ladies in the meeting, you know, what was your experience? When were you sealed? What was that moment of impression when the Holy Spirit came and you experienced something of God where you knew something happened inside of you, something came into the inside of you? And the testimonies were just brilliant. And to hear and being a partaker of that kind of blessing myself and all the other men that were there as well, I'm sure, you know, it was refreshing to know that we really didn't make things up. This wasn't our imagination. This wasn't about goosebumps and soulical feelings. This was a spiritual move of God in our lives that has carried some of us for 35 years, 40 years. I mean, we have been operating and living out of that one unction so many years ago that's carried us to where we are today. I mean, to be able to do what we do as Christians in this world, to walk and not give up, to not throw in and surrender, not wave the white flag of surrender, not turn back to the leeks and garlic of Egypt, but to go forward in this hour with all these years of the winds and adversities and temptations and struggles and trials and all of the warfare that comes from the world, the flesh, the devil. How is it that people are still moving forward, experiencing the purposes of God, have hope for something that God's going to do in the hour in which we live? I hope to God that the church in this hour will receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit in a new and living way, a refreshing. I think we all came to the conclusion that we don't get the Holy Spirit one day, and then through the years he leaves, and then he comes back again. No, the Holy Spirit is always present from the day that he comes to seal the saints, as long as we don't break the covenant, right? And so we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't quench the Holy Spirit. But when that Holy Spirit is in us, the Holy Spirit produces times of refreshing. The Holy Spirit brings revival. It's not coming from without anymore. We've already received them inwardly. And so there is a breaking forth. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is doing such a deep inward cleansing of the vessel. He is so down there, deep inside, you don't even know he's there. But he's undoing things. He's working things. He's changing the intelligence of an individual. Do you know how difficult it is to get into someone's brain, to get into someone's mind, to get into someone's soul and begin to transform and change? I mean, psychologists try to claim that they could do that, and they sit down for $300 an hour and tell someone, lay on the couch, tell me all your problems, and they're more quacks than the people on the couches most of the time. Sorry if you're a psychologist and that was not geared to you personally. But the thing is, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, is literally changing our thinking, our soul, our memory, our emotions, our feelings, the way that we've always done things. Do you know how impossible that is? And yet the Holy Spirit is at work doing this. And then when he's done doing a deep clean inside of us and taking territory and doing things, then he brings the refreshing water. I mean, think about that vessel that the potter makes, and he forms it with his hand, and then he puts it in the fire, and then he brings it out and he washes it with water, and he's doing so much with the vessel. And God is not creating an external vessel for you and I. He's not concerned about our outward appearance. He doesn't care about what we look like. What he cares about is the image on the inside. And there is an image on the inside of every true believer. And that image is Christ, but it's unformed, it's unfashioned. And the Holy Spirit has come to form and fashion within us that divine nature that is in the likeness of the firstborn son from heaven, Jesus Christ, not Adam that came from the earth. Remember, all mankind came from the earth in Adam, but the born-again man comes from the second man, the man from heaven, Jesus Christ, a new species, a new kind of man. That spirit, that image, that likeness, that nature is what is on the inside of us growing up, growing up. But there are entanglements because we have a flesh nature. We have old habits. We have traditions, cycles, patterns that need to be undone. And so let the Holy Spirit come in. Let the fire of God burn. And just know this by faith, even though you don't feel God, even though you don't see God. You have to know that God is with you and at work. And when you don't feel him and you don't see him, you just have to trust he must be doing something really deep. And when he's done, he's going to bring forth a revelation of my growth, of my character building experience I just had. The Lord is in control. Do not be dismayed, regardless of what you go through. We are not of those that look back. We are those that go on. We are running our race. We're seeing the finish line. And the Holy Spirit's about to do something because he has been working in people for years in our time frame to prepare us for this moment. And this moment is here. It is upon us. It's a glorious moment. Something wonderful is about to happen. And we've got to be able to flow with it. So I'm going to speak a word right now, and I'm going to command something. You could agree with me if you want to. And I'm just going to say these words, come forth. For God says, I am calling upon the men of God, both male and female, the mature sons, to come forth in this day of battle. For this is no war for the children. I am causing you to grow at paces unusual. Therefore, do not be dismayed at the trial that lay ahead. My sons and daughters, it is time for your growth. It is time for you to master the day. It is time to make the transition and take the reins of power. It is time to take the helm of the ship. It is time to dismiss those who no longer hold to the course I have set for your nation. It is time to address the false from the true. It is time to rise up and do battle with the nations that oppose my purpose. It is time to embrace the day in which you live. And I would just, before going on, remind every true believer that according to 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are a holy nation, that the church of Jesus Christ is viewed as its own nation, its own kingdom, separate from the nations of the earth, separate from the nations of the world. We live in America as a nation, but we're not Americans. We're Christians. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are a holy nation according to the word of God. We are a royal priesthood. Know who you are, church. And so God is saying to the nation, which is the church, it's time. It's time to rise up. It is time to rise up and do battle with the nations that oppose my purpose. It is time to embrace the day in which you live. I will pour out my spirit upon you in unprecedented fashion. I will release the reserve of my golden oil among you as you come together to seek my face. I will meet you in the field, in the mountain, in the desert, and on the shores. I will meet you as you come forth full of faith to receive the anointing in this day, an anointing that breaks every yoke. The anointing to receive the anointing in this day, an anointing that breaks every yoke, the anointing of truth, the anointing of power, the anointing of love, the anointing of abundance. For truly the wicked shall perish from the earth as the righteous remain forever. You will no longer think, run. No, you will think, stand. You will no longer waste your time with the works of the enemy, but you shall spend your time with me. I did not care of the opposition against my life. I kept my eyes on the Father. If I tell you to move, you must know my voice. For there are many voices in the earth today causing confusion in the hearts and minds of my sheep. Yet I have told you that I would set up a shepherd over my people in the likeness of David. Your shepherd never runs from battle. Battles run from him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I am, and there is no other. I am God. Come into me, and I will be with you and walk with you, and my presence, peace, and power shall fill you. You will not be tossed with every wind of doctrine. Your mind shall be renewed, and you will speak with authority to my people, and you shall guide them in affection. My eyes are a flame of fire. I watch over those who are mine. They know my voice, and another they will not follow. I say to my sheep this day to quiet yourselves, enter into my rest. Let the world worry and be afraid. Let the world eat the fruit of their ways. Let the world walk as blind and deaf men. Let the world take its course. But you, my sheep, rest. This is the seventh day, the day of my rest. Repose in me. Settle down in me. I shall comfort you and will not allow one hair of your head to perish. Do not fear what man could do to you. Do not fear their anger and rage. Yes, it is true that all the fury of hell is against me and those who love me. But I am not afraid of them, beloved. I am not afraid of men, devils, or the intents of their hearts. I know where to lead my people. I know how to guide those who are mine into complete victory and safety. This battle that rages against you shall be overcome by my warrior sons who walk in peace. This battle is not to the carnal, but to the spiritual. This battle is for the dominion of the earth. This battle is a contest as to who will take the reins and rule in the earth. This battle is for the pulling down of strongholds that have long been in the earth. A spiritual battle for the minds of the nations. My word is fire. Follow me wherever I go, and you will never be lost and confused. Keep your eyes upon me. I am gentle, and I am not moved by the rumblings of men. Come into my rest, beloved. Enter into your chambers and close the door to all striving and fleshly activity. For my indignation shall pass over all nations who are not sealed by my spirit. So God is saying, come forth. Well, that's my thoughts today. I wonder if you have any thoughts. And if you'd like to call into the program, the number is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. Has God spoken to you today is the question. Let's take our first call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you and welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, God bless you. We're traveling. We're in a car right now, but it was such a witness in my spirit when you spoke what you did today, because this is not a normal day for us. We are going to, my sister's husband passed away, and we're going to the funeral and the wake tonight.
Wait a second, you're not talking about Ewald?
Oh, no. This is another sister in Sioux Falls. And so we will be among these people, and it's a Catholic funeral, and the Lord was just giving me some things in the spirit to speak to different people and showing me their faces, the ones that I'm to speak with and to give this word to. And I thought, oh, God, this is just a confirmation that, yes, we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And it's like, it's now, it's now, it's happening now. Move in. Move in. So this was just a witness in the spirit, all that you have spoken this morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I believe it. I believe that if we could understand that God's church, his kingdom, is spread out all over this earth in the hearts and minds of his people, those that have come to faith in Christ and have been born again, that we are a nation within a nation. We are a nation within the midst of nations on the earth, the true nation, the holy nation of God. And we are endowed with the power of God. And God wants his church to be militant, triumphant in this earth. He does not want us to be fearful and fretful and the tail. We have something that this world does not have. And it's not just we're going to heaven and you're not. There is a power of the kingdom that must be displayed in the earth, and we've got to be a fearless people. So I really believe that God is at work within each one, ready for each one of us to perform a particular function before we leave this earth in the time that we're living in to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you very much. That was much encouragement today.
Good.
Thank you.
And you guys be safe out there. Bye-bye. All right, the number to call, 818-369-0326. If you are wanting to share your thoughts or your heart, press 1 on the dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. And on this Thursday, what is it that God is saying? How is this message relating to you? And this is what we're looking for. This is what we want to hear. So let's take our next call here this morning. Good morning. God bless you and welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Well, good morning.
Wonderful.
Pastor Ken. Shalom.
You know, Pastor, it was a good uplifting word that you're bringing this morning. The thought crossed my mind on here as well is this: if Peter didn't act, or if we don't act, who will? That's the question. Because if we don't act, there's a void in there. And I guarantee you, the enemies of our soul, Satan himself, will try and step in, and he'll have reign because we have done nothing. How many years have we been told that we are the silent majority? And even though we're the majority, the rulers that are opposed to us have taken over, even though they're not the majority. We need to realize that we have a role, we have a function, we have a job to do, And the Holy Spirit will empower us when we allow him to, and we seek him out. And he will give us the power that we need to go ahead and do what we need to go ahead and do, period. That is something that we have to think about. So we need to speak up. We need to move up. We need to take everything that God has given us and become the power of God in this earth to speak forth and do the things that he has required us and asked us to go ahead and do. We cannot afford to be silent any longer.
As you're talking, Pastor Ken, I was thinking, God is saying to us this morning, who's going to take the first step? And I'm reminded of Peter, again, stepping out of that boat on the sea of adversity when the winds and the waves were roaring, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and finally they understood it was him, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come, and he says, come. And Peter actually stepped out of that boat and walked on the water. That's not some made-up story. That is the truth. And he was able for a moment to experience something so supernatural. And that literally guided him into his calling as an apostle later on down the road. And yet somebody had to step out. They all could have stepped out. Every one of them could have said, Lord, can we all get out and walk on the water? That'd be really cool. But he was the one that stepped out. The others watched, and then they watched him fail. But the Lord raised him up and said, where's your faith? And so this is a faith journey. God's calling us to walk and to stand on adversity, the footstool of adversity, to stand on it. And you, like you said, who is going to do it? Who is going to be the first in our generation to bring it forth? Now, I do note that there are individuals that are evangelists and missionaries around the world that are already out on the streets, and they are performing miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of Jesus. They are recorded. People are getting healed, words of knowledge. People are experiencing things. And so our listening audience here can't be too long in debating as to who's going first. We need that spirit of Peter here to say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come, and I'm going to come. And then when we see these miracles are already being done, we'll have the confidence to say, you know what? It's in me too. And so this is a very critical time for the Church of Jesus Christ, Pastor Ken.
You know, Pastor, that's so true. So true what you're saying. I can't help but remember, and I told you this one before, that on a retreat that I went to, one of the speakers that came in was the janitor in the building. We saw him every day mopping the floors, cleaning the toilets, cleaning the bathrooms, the rest of the building. And we just thought of him, lowly janitor. You know, that was our mistake. Because that man came in and spoke to us when the head of the conference told us that this individual would be speaking to us, we almost laughed. And I was right among them, kind of laughing, saying, what's he going to teach me? In my pride, my foolishness, I couldn't believe that he would be of any help. Well, that man got done talking. After an hour, every one of us was on the floor crying with our faces buried because of the shame that I felt, that the other people felt, I think, the same exact way. That man moved us immeasurably towards God. The simpleness of the man and the simpleness of the talk was just literally profound. And I couldn't believe my ears hearing the words coming from a janitor, because really it wasn't coming from a janitor. It was coming from the Spirit of God that this man possessed. And that's what we have to recognize, that we have that hidden talent and ability in each and every one of us, and God wants to come forth. And true to the man, when he finished, he walked back into the chapel and got back on his hands and knees again and thanked God that he could be his servant and speak forth the words of God to men who were willing to listen. And that was something profound that I never forgot. And I hope people will listen and know and understand, no matter where they are in their walk of life, that they have the dunamis power of God inside of them. And God will use them if they allow him to have the opportunity to serve him and speak forth his words.
Amen. Amen. There is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy the purposes of God in the life of an individual and in the life of the corporate church of Jesus Christ. There has been tremendous damages and ravages to men and women of faith all over the world. It appears that the worst activities of the satanic empire are ahead of us, and we need to be of such a sort of individuals that we are built for tribulation, for pressure. We must be the pressure-proof people within our generation that have the ability to walk through the strongest fire, the strongest opposition, because we've been built for it. It always reminds me of the Saturn V rocket. The Saturn V rocket was the first one that was built in such a way to withstand the heat belt and all the gravitational pull that was pulling down, and to break through in that into the realm of space. And they tell us that that rocket was built to go 25,000 miles per hour. Imagine that. If from liftoff, there were three canisters, and the first canister would ignite, that it would lift the rocket off the platform. It would begin to soar. After a few minutes, that first rocket canister of fuel would empty itself out, and then it would be released from the rocket, so it's not dead weight. And then the second one would ignite, and that second canister of fuel would propel that rocket ship to high speeds. Now it's soaring. And then, just at the approach of all the pressure, all that destructive force of nature's power, that second one would come to an end. It would disengage as to not produce dead weight. And the third rocket fuel canister would ignite and propel that rocket ship to 25,000 miles per hour. And then it pierced right through all the heat, all through that belt and all the pressure that was coming against it. And it broke through third rocket fuel canister. Did its job. We are living in the prophetic third day. The first 1,000 years of the church age has come and gone. The second 1,000 years of the church age have come and gone. It is now the third age, the third day of divine power and glory. And God is going to give us supernatural power to accelerate so that we could burst through. That's what this season's all about. A bursting through, a breaking free, a breaking through into the realm of space, the unlimited realm of God's glory, where everything is now just taking its peace, taking its flow. Everything is rest. It's the energy to get through the difficulty, and the Saturn V rocket did it, and I believe the church is ready for the third canister to ignite, and I believe it's a supernatural divine power and energy like we have never known before. And, you know, I'm excited about this. I'm believing for this, and I'm believing with those that want to go in this direction. I want to walk with those that are moving in this power. I'm not satisfied with the limited level of power. I am seeking God. And in the interim, we're all doing our day-to-day job, being faithful in what God has called us to do. But dear saints of God, it's got to happen. Most likely it's going to happen as we're gathering together. Everything I read and know about God, when it comes to this kind of supernatural baptism, it is normally within the context of a corporate anointing. For the wine is not in a grape, the wine is in a cluster. And these are the important things. I am going to say, Pastor Ken, thank you so much for joining me today on the air. I'm going to give way now because Patricia Joy Xavier is on her way to the microphone. And before we go, I'm going to just turn this over to a little bit of music and a little commercial we're working out here, and just blessing people as we go. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Pastor Ken, thank you, sir. Is there a final word you'd like to share before I shift everything?
I would, Pastor. The other night on TV, I watched a movie about the centurion that crucified Christ. Now, I believe this is a made-up story, but the beautiful part was is that what stops a lot of people is their past and what they've done and what they've failed to do. This centurion followed through, actually became a follower of Christ when he realized and seen what God had done. God can use even a centurion that crucified him. God can use each and every one of us if we will give in to him and let him perfect us and bring us to his glory and know what we should be doing on the rest of this earth for our time.
Amen. Let's figure it out. In this prophetic day, I'm Vincent Xavier. Well done, Pastor Ken. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. You've been listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. Up next is Patricia Joy Xavier with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We'll see you in just a moment.
And encouragement to go on in this very difficult times we're in. And this is our desire. The heart is to make sure that we have been inundated with the Holy Spirit to go forth, to go onward and upward. And I have to ask you a question today. Have you ever had a gut-wrenching experience? Do certain situations make you feel nauseous or nauseous? Have you ever felt butterflies in your The gastrointestinal tract is sensitive to emotion, anger, anxiety, sadness, elation. All of these feelings and others can trigger symptoms in the gut. Why am I bringing that up this morning? What is the reason for it? Well, we are ministering deliverance. And I want you to understand how deliverance works and why it works. We must realize that devils can indwell any part of the human body. But one of the favorite areas seems to be the lower abdomen. What I was asking you of is, do you have these reactions, stress and disorders? Is that the call of your day sometimes causing you symptoms? And these are physical symptoms, and that is the way the enemy works. Because anxiety, frustration, stress is only announcing one thing. It's announcing a lack of faith at a particular moment. And that which is not faith is sin, according to the Word of God. Why? Because we forget the Almighty One that we love, who loves us so much that He is caring to be in every situation of our life. So when symptoms like this arise, what happens is it affects us, and the wages of sin is death. This is how bodies begin to die. That's why deliverance is so important. I hope I'm getting this across rightfully to you, understandably to you, because it's something I really want you to know. And what happens with these symptoms? Stiff or tense muscles, especially in the neck and shoulders, headaches, sleep problems, shakiness or tremors, recent loss of interest in sex, weight loss or gain, restlessness. Do you experience those things? What I'm trying to get you to understand is that the enemy has taken position. And one of the positions, one of the strong positions he takes, according to the Word of God, is in the bowels of emotions. And this is what your bowels of emotions express. You also have behavioral symptoms, procrastination, grinding teeth, difficulty completing work assignments, changes in the amount of alcohol or food you consume, taking up smoking or smoking more than usual, increased desire to be with or withdraw from others, and also frequent talking or brooding about stressful situations. Have you ever seen Christians in this manner, in this way? And then the emotions of the bowels, or the bowels of emotions, where the enemy loves to take position, is also in the emotional symptoms of crying, overwhelming sense of tension or pressure, trouble relaxing, nervousness, quick, oh, how we turn into that so fast, so furiously when we are being afflicted or if we've been hurt in some manner or some way, quick temper, depression, poor concentration, trouble remembering things, loss of sense of humor, indecisiveness. These situations are the problems that are caused by demonic presence. And as I said earlier, one of the favorite areas seems to be the lower abdomen, which in the scriptures called the bowels of emotions. And what I've read to you has caused many of us to have difficulties in our physical bodies, and then sooner or later, the attack of some kind of deep sickness, and then death. So you see, all of that works together. The wages of sin is death. What is sin? A lack of faith. What do we lack faith in? Our Almighty God, who loves us so much and who is in every situation if we allow him to be. And then peace that he has left unto us. Peace I leave unto you, not as the world leaves, but as I leave. There you are. Are you walking in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ's gift? So, most of us are not. We call ourselves Christians, but we are in the bowels of emotions where the difficulty arises for physical ailments in our bodies. Well, here's what I want you to know. In deliverance, when a hand is laid on this area of ministry, the devils very often seem to come up and out through the mouth. That's their release out of your being. And when hands are to be laid on the abdomen, it is wise, I believe, and helpful that it be done, a woman on a woman, a man on a man, because we don't want to stir other spirits that are unhealthy until we're ready to deliver them. But I want you to understand the depths of truth with demonic presence in our life and how it works, because Satan comes to do what? Kill, steal, destroy. And this is the very basis of warfare. You know, when we were first fallen from grace, these things began to come upon mankind. In the garden, there weren't these ailments. Nobody had these difficulties of sickness and disease. That was unheard of with Mr. and Mrs. Adam. No such thing. It was only life, and life more abundantly. But as mankind fell, as Adam and Eve fell into sin, the wages of sin is death, and death came upon all mankind. But there's a deliverance granted to us, and according to our faith, will we stand to overcome the works of the enemy? Well, you may be asking me, are you saying that I never have to die? We were not meant to die. We were meant to go on into a wonderful state of existence, not only spiritually, but mentally and physically. Again, we erred in sinning and receiving the lie of Satan into our lives. She did, Mrs. Adam. But I'll tell you what, we would have done the same, because we have been given a way out by Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We have been granted a way out from walking in sin, and we haven't taken hold of it because we are not aware most of the time. And when we are aware, we battle with faith. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's the way it works. So during the steps for deliverance, I'm going through various means here to show you exactly how these demons work, how they interact with us, how they manifest in us. And there are steps for ministering deliverance. And it's as follows. And I have mentioned some of it yesterday. Number one, submit yourself unto the Lord in prayer for guidance. If you are going to be the deliverer for the who needs deliverance. And apply the blood of Jesus upon the afflicted, as explained in chapter 4 of my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You know, Jesus purchased us with the shedding of his blood, and he destroyed the works of Satan on the cross. This is the victory. That is why I am saying over and over again, our faith must be strong in his work upon the cross for us. And again, the wages of sin is death. And what is sin? Unbelief. It is the basis of all sin and corruption within our lives, within our being. Then the deliverer, which I hope you will become, will bind all evil spirits. At this point, we do not name devils or call them by name, but we bind them all, putting bondage on all of them so that they won't have an opportunity to act independently. They will want to fight back. But again, know who you are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? The devil. Who's in you? Jesus Christ. And as we command the devils to leave, we speak with authority. We say something to this effect. Devils, I know you're there. You have no right to stay because this person belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus purchased him or her with his own blood. I bind you and I command you to loose him or her and to let him or her go now in the name of Jesus. That is somewhat of a format that you would use. It could be changed as the Holy Spirit gives you discernment and direction. And he will. If your heart is desiring this work of deliverance, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is right there with you, because it is the desire of the Father's heart that his children be free. He sent his Son to set the captives free. Did he not? Number three, as you are moving as a deliverer for deliverance in people, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the devils, and in particular, the ones he wants driven out first. The Holy Spirit will show you. It will be an understanding that you have in your heart as the one who is putting another through deliverance. And this is what I'm bringing forth to you today. I did so yesterday. And it's what I wrote the book for, again, that you could be one who has a deliverance ministry. There will be deliverers in Mount Zion, and you could be part of that. And this is why Jesus Christ came. Again, I shall repeat, he came to set you free. He came to set me free by going to the cross, paying the sacrifice for your life and mine, overcoming the works of the devil, resurrecting from the dead to give us resurrection life. Does it make any sense to you? And it is the Father's heart that his children would be free as he had created it to be from the foundations of the earth. But he gave us a choice. And you may say, well, why didn't he just make sure we didn't do it? Why doesn't he take care of all these bad things that happen? Body of Christ, he has given us the most wonderful gift we can have. And that gift is the gift of choice. To make decisions right from wrong. If he did anything other than that, he wouldn't have loved us. Why? Because we would be mere robots. That's why. That we want to be robots. Now, AI is trying to do that very thing. Artificial intelligence is trying to make us robots where they can control us. The Father did not want to control us. The Father wanted us to make our choice to love Him. We don't want to control people to love us. We want people to love us because they desire to love us. They want to love us. Do we want to control our children to love us? No. We want them to love us because of who we are. Anything short of that is abominable. So He's given us free choice. Eve had free choice in the garden. She could have taken on the tree of life and said, I will stay with the tree of life. That's the tree I want to be part of. Or she could have partook with or to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in which Satan desired for her to do and convinced her if she did, she'd be God or like God. Today, it is still the same thing. Are we our own gods? Many believe they are. And those who are scientifically involved right now with robots and things of that nature are trying to create a God of themselves and of this world. But we already have a God. He is the creator already of this world. He needs no other creator. We need no other creator. And not only of this world, but worlds. And not only of worlds, but universe. And not only of universe, but universes. He created all things. They're only using the material in which they are already, that have already created by our Heavenly Father to try to control mankind. But God has given us a free will in which right now, again, is trying to be taken away by laws and by various means of control. Think about it. Now, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the devils, and in particular, the ones He wants driven out first, and He'll know, and He will show you what they are. Break generational sin bondage. In this scripture, visiting the iniquity, the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate God is the very scripture that generational sin bondage is expressed in, by God's will to teach us how sin visited from one generation to another, how we are in bondage to sin from one generation to another. We've all been born in sin, folks. But what we want to do is receive salvation. And for those that are having a difficult time in salvation, working out their salvation, what we need to do is help that individual break generational sin bondage. Is that understood? Again, the scripture to understand about it is visiting the iniquity, the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate God. Now, you may say, well, my mom and dad didn't hate God. Anytime we don't fully submit our lives to the Lord, there is a hate. We either choose God or the world. There's no in between. And if we choose the world, the God of this world is Satan. So which way are we going to go? If you love God, you will choose Him. If you don't, you don't desire Him. And that's the word hate in this scripture. Ask the person about relationships, primarily with his father and mother. Herein usually lies the key to discerning what demonic spirits you are working against. You see, this is where that generational bloodline curse of the sins of the fathers visited upon the children take its play. And so, because we've all been born in sin, mom and dad is not perfect. They are to lead you into that perfection of Jesus Christ, however, but in most cases that isn't so. And then in the cases where maybe mother and father brought you to church, what you saw you weren't happy with didn't touch your life. And perhaps it didn't because there was a war going on in your own soul. But the word of God speaks to us in this manner. Jesus Christ came to set us free from the law of sin and death, from the bondage of sin, and to set us free. What else is there to understand? So what we need to do is have a clear perception of how Satan works through sin from generation to generation. And the addition to that is familiar spirits who link themselves to the unholy experiences of sin. So that's number five. Ask the person about relationships, primarily with his father and mother. And herein usually lies the key to discerning what demonic spirits you are working against. I want you also to pay careful attention. Number six, pay careful attention to the spirits of rejection. Oh, folks, this is a biggie. How many times have I seen incredible spirits of pain in agony because of the spirit of rejection in the individual? This is a biggie. This is a very strong man, the strong man of our soul. It causes an incredible stronghold of our soul. Even though our spirits may be born again, the soul has a stronghold on it. And the Holy Spirit is about to do warfare within your spirit to cleanse that soul from all unrighteousness. But the demon of rejection, the spirit of rejection, is so powerful in so many people that it has to be looked at. It has to be seen clearly. And the way to do it is put them through the number five that I said. Talk about their relationships primarily with their father and mother. Stand there until that is clarified. And stay there until it's clarified. And so pay a careful attention to the spirit of rejection. Why? Because that spirit brings rebellion and pride in one's life. These are ruler spirits who have a wholeness of lesser spirits attached. Are you beginning to see how it works? Think about your own life. Have you felt rejected by your mother or your father or someone you cared about deeply? Has rejection played a role in your life, that demonic presence causing you to be rebellious as you were growing up, causing you to be rebellious in your marriage? Rejection will do that. And then you start operating an incredible amount of pride, though pride is the basis of all sin. But why? Because of the work of generational bloodline curses. Jesus cleared it up on the cross, folks. But we have to know and understand this operation. And we have not seen it the way it should be because of the different concepts and ideas and theories of institutes of theology. Brings confusion. But the word doesn't. The word is clear and precise as you begin to have it revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go into the workings of deliverance. When you ask the afflicted person about his relationship with his parents, you will need to seek the Holy Spirit as to what questions should be asked. I brought that up before, but I'm going to continue to bring it up because it's imperative. Remember, it is necessary that the gifts of the Holy Spirit be operating in your life. Because you need the gift of discernment and you need the gift of casting out devils. And these gifts are spoken of clearly, deliberately in Mark 16 and in 1 Corinthians 12. And as you ask these questions to that person you are bringing deliverance to, the Holy Spirit will begin causing the evil spirits to reveal themselves within the afflicted person. You will be so surprised when you see this happening. It's going to amaze you. You're going to say, my God, the power is there, Father. And you will be shocked how quick the Holy Spirit begins to work to reveal the darkness in the individual. And you're going to think, I did that? This really is an experience that I'm watching of truth? No, you didn't do it. Your faith in who is in you did it. Your faith in Jesus Christ is who did it. By the power of his love, by the power of his spirit, by the power of his grace and mercy, he did it. It is all that Jesus Christ did on the cross to set one free. Operating within you as you speak the word that Jesus Christ spoke, Satan, loose him and set him free. He's in you as a fact. He came in to live in you in the Holy Spirit. And the Father is rejoicing to see his children set free. This is a family. We are clarifying. This is a family. It is the family of Almighty God. And we want our family to be powerful and clean and altogether beautiful in love. Loving God first. And then their neighbor as themselves. And if they don't love themselves, if the body of Christ does not love themselves, how could they love their neighbor? And if they can't love their neighbor, how could they love their heavenly Father who created them? What a mishap. Let's get it right. Let's get it back. It is in the work of deliverance. Oh, praise be to God for what he's done for us. After you have taken the necessary steps, deliverance will happen easily. However, keep in mind that you must always be flexible because you do not want to create methods and quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must always have free rein. Don't go by mythology, methods that have been taught to you. These are instructions, not methods. There's a difference. This is a possibility of working to bring one to deliverance according to the way Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth. I studied profusely to find the way that Jesus Christ walked profusely. And this is the way that the Lord showed me in his word that he worked the work of deliverance. And as I explained in previous chapters, we have all been rejected at some point in our lives, some to greater degree, then others, and then depending on the experience we have had with our parents from the womb to this present day. We will go on with more of deliverance tomorrow, hopefully. I don't know if it'll be in chronicle order. But what we will do is we will continue on until we have an in-depth understanding. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. I pray your day will be sore blessed with divine wisdom and understanding regarding the Word of God. If you are and have any questions, please Email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I love you, and God bless you.